Hi, this is Wayne Heimbach for Labor Express. This edition of Labor Express is going to be talking about the death penalty. And the death penalty hit the news recently in a rather strange way. State's Attorney Dick Devine said if some people who are on death row are willing to say that they're guilty, they'll be let go. And that's not the way things usually work. So this is an indication that there's something else that's going on. And that is that there's been a lot of change in people's attitudes towards the death penalty. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And one of the reasons is that there's an organization here in Illinois and around the country called the Campaign to End the Death Penalty. We're talking with Alice Kim, who works with the campaign. And Alice, you're involved in organizing this national convention. Let's talk about that in a second. But could you explain this rather strange offer from the government that if people say that they're guilty of something, that they'll be let go? And there obviously is something else that's going on. And what is that?
Right. Well, State's Attorney Dick Devine has always denied that torture has happened here in Chicago, even though former police commander John Burge, who was fired in 1992 for torture. But he has always denied that this has happened, but in recent years, actually, the Campaign to End the Death Penalty, along with other activists and other organizations, has actually taken up the cause of a group of African-American men who are on Illinois' death row. They're known as the Death Row 10, and they all claim that they were tortured by John Burge and a group of his detectives. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is that we've organized numerous rallies, numerous forums. We've also hooked up their story to get on different media outlets, things like that. We've had petition campaigns for them, and that all has made a big difference. It's meant that their stories have been featured in the Chicago Tribune. There's also been letters written to major newspapers in the Chicago area and also nationally about their cases. So now I think that Dick Devine is feeling the heat, especially because this past summer 300 protesters went to his house in Rogers Park in Chicago, demanding an explanation for why there has been no investigation into their cases and why they haven't received new trials.
And this emphasis on, and the support you're actually getting from even some rather mainstream areas of newspapers and politicians, wasn't the beginning of this change in attitude towards the death penalty. It's something that people have been looking at for a long time, and something that people over the past couple of years have looked at a lot more closely than they had before. And partly, as I said earlier, that's because of organizations like the Campaign to End the Death Penalty. So could you tell our listeners about the campaign, about your organization, and why does it do what it does, and what exactly do you do?
Well, the Campaign to End the Death Penalty is a grassroots organization. You know, we believe that it's absolutely critical that ordinary people get involved in pressuring our politicians and our officials to actually do the right thing, that they won't. You know, the statistics have always been out there, you know, who it is that's on death row, that more blacks get the death penalty than whites do, that there are mentally retarded people who are on death row, that there are juveniles who are on death row. It's getting that sort of attention because ordinary people are now starting to question the criminal justice system. Ordinary people are starting to question why it is that there are innocent people who are on death row, why it is that nearly 100 people now across the country have been let off of death row and allowed to go free because they were actually innocent. Mm-hmm. So our organization features that and in particular tries to get the people who have been exonerated from death row and family members of people who are on death row involved in the movement, as well as just regular people, students, workers, you know, just regular people to get involved and put pressure on the people who can actually, you know, legislate some sort of change or judges who can actually make certain decisions in specific cases. And we feel that that's the only way, really, that you know, we'll be able to make progress on this issue and around specific cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you said I think is very important, and there was a lot of discussion, again, over the past couple of years that involved the issue called racial profiling. And often that had to do with who got stopped for a traffic ticket. But the implications of that attitude seem to be, from what you're saying, also involved and something like the death penalty. I was wondering if you could make that kind of a comparison, because you're talking about, you know, the number of minorities that are on death row, and how does that, do you feel, fit within your organization's response to the death penalty, not as just an isolated problem, but also, as you said, something that has to do with the justice system and all the ways that things come down in this country. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, one of the things that we've always said is that, when it comes to the death penalty, it starts with the cops on the streets because they're the ones who actually make the initial arrests. And racial profiling has everything to do with who gets the death penalty, because it's actually definitely the case that blacks definitely get racially profiled. And so you see in Illinois, there's around 170 people who are on death row right now, and over 100 of them are actually black. And so you can see that racial profiling actually happens. In Chicago, there are over 60 documented cases of African-American men who claim that they were tortured by Chicago cops. That's at Area 2 and Area 3 headquarters. That tells me, once again, that there's another problem with racial profiling, and that it's absolutely connected to the death penalty.
Right. One of the ways I think that this issue has become very important for the discussion with working people is that a couple of unions have picked up this issue. SEIU, the service employees in the National Convention, had talked about, had come out against the death penalty, had talked about some of the things that you're mentioning here. And also one of the locals here in Chicago had a member that is still on death row, Mario Flores. And it was interesting that in one of the meetings where we talked about that issue, that a lot of the members there said, we will not fight against the death penalty unless you also talk about the justice system, because they saw that it was not just people on death row, but there were a lot of people, even including some of the relatives of our members, who said that this issue is a bigger issue. So when you talk about the death penalty, when you go out and you talk to people, talk to organizations, when you talk to the people who are on death row, do you bring up that issue of the justice system, besides just racial profiling, all of the implications of working people in poverty? Is that part of the agenda of your organization as well?
Well, you can't avoid other issues. I mean, they definitely come up when you're talking about the death penalty, because when you look at who gets the death penalty, it's poor people and it's minorities. Mm-hmm. And so those issues are, you have to talk about them. There's no way of getting around them. You have to criticize the criminal justice system that allows racial bias, that allows people who are poor to have ineffective counsel, and that you have to be very critical of that sort of criminal justice system. So I mm-hmm. think that when you talk about the death penalty, inevitably those sorts of issues come up and you begin to question the criminal justice system as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that has happened with our world since September 11th is people to some extent look at the world a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I think that you could see a real reaction against racial profiling, but now again, it's come back since September 11th, talking about, quote-unquote, who's a terrorist and who isn't. Do you think that kind of discussion and some of the ways people are looking at the world since September 11th will have an effect on your issue, on the issue of the death penalty?
Well, what's happened since September 11th is that it has become socially acceptable to racially profile people of Middle Eastern descent. And I think that that's pretty clear just from, what you see in the media day in and day out about Arab Americans. And, even on the politically incorrect the other night, Bill Maher was advocating secret police to target essentially people of Middle Eastern descent, as opposed to all Americans mm-hmm. who are now feeling sort of under pressure, are you a terrorist or are you not? And I feel that that is something that has absolutely happened. And if it is socially acceptable to racially profile Arab Americans or people of Middle Eastern descent, then you know what? It's going to also link, flow over, that it will become socially acceptable again to racially profile blacks or racially profile other people, immigrants. And so I think that that can absolutely happen. Impact. And I think in the same way that if people stand up to racial profiling of Arab Americans, then I think that, it's easy to then make the connection that, you stand up for Arab Americans, you also stand up for blacks, and you also stand up for any group that's being racially profiled.
Since, you're organizing this national convention here in Chicago coming up actually in early November, which is one of the reasons we're doing the interview, in your organizing for the convention, have you seen any of the reaction that we're just talking about? Have people said, let's slow down in our opposition to the death penalty? Or have they kept up momentum, which has really grown over the past couple of years? Have they kept up that momentum going into the convention, obviously going into over the next year or so, as you try to deal with that particular issue?
I think that you actually see a lot of different things happening at one time, because I think that on the level of, you know, politicians and representatives and, you know, people who are in Congress and that sort of thing, that, you know, there's less attention being paid to social issues like the death penalty right now. But I know that basically from the work of our chapters who have continued to do outreach and have continued to try to get people involved in this issue and raise awareness about that, there's still a lot of openness to this issue. At the same time, you know, there are some states that are now trying to bring back the death penalty. There is, you know, new legislation that is, you know, anti-terrorism legislation that is putting forward, you know, the death penalty as a measure to, you know, stop terrorists and things like that. So, you know, I think you see both things, you know, different things going on. And I think that sometimes people are, you know, I know that there's been some discussion about Osama bin Laden and, you know, what about if he were to get the death penalty and things like that. And I feel like, you know, people, because of the tragedy and the extent of it and all of that, that there are some people who now question, you know, maybe in specific cases, but, you know, for those of us in the campaign to end the death penalty, we get back to what is the death penalty really about and who does it really impact? Let's look at the real faces of death row. And that's why at the National Convention, we are going to be featuring those who have experienced the death penalty and have experienced death row themselves, those who have been exonerated, are going to tell their personal stories, what happened to them, why they were put on death row, why they're doing the work that they do now. I know that many of them would like to forget those years that they spent on death row, but they continue to tell their stories because of those that they left behind. So that's going to be something that's specifically featured at this convention. We will have exonerated inmates there speaking about their own personal story and their own personal struggle.
I mean, one of the things that's obviously been extraordinary is the number of people who have been let off of death row who are found to be innocent. And as far as I'm concerned, it relates to some of the questions about September 11th and the need for facts. And there's a lot of questioning that we don't have the kind of facts that we necessarily would need. And there are parallels all over the place, it seems to me. Now, when you talk about your campaign and your organization, there are two things that you mentioned I think are fairly important. I wonder if you could talk about them a little bit. One is that you just don't talk. We have chapters that do organizing. This is a national organization. And the other thing that you said I think is fairly important is that you just don't talk about the death penalty. You talk about people on death row, about why they're there, not just who they are, the race, but also who are they. As individuals, and that's been very important for your campaign. And why did you go that way? Besides, it was successful. I mean, when you started, you might not have known that, but it seems to have been. Why do you do that? I mean, how does it work, and what are the kind of ways that you do that to express that the reality of what death row is?
Yeah, we think it's really important to put a human face on the death penalty, so that people can see, you know, who it is that's getting the death penalty, because there's a myth and there's a stereotype of who is on death row, that it's all John Wayne Gacy's, it's the most heinous murderers ever, and that actually we found that not to be the case. I mean, the numbers tell it in one way, because there are nearly 100 people who have now been freed from death row because they were actually innocent, but actually if you get a chance to meet people who are on death row, if you get a chance to hear their stories themselves, that makes all the difference in the world. And one of the things that we do, which is kind of a hallmark of the campaign to end the death penalty, is an event called Live from Death Row. And these Live from Death Rows feature death row inmates, people who are on death row right now. They get to talk to an audience via telephone hookup. We amplify their call and they get to tell their stories. And this has proven to be incredibly powerful because people in the audience get to see that, you know, these people who are on death row are not animals. They're real people who have thoughts and ideas of their own and who are fighting for their lives and oftentimes have horrific stories to share with others about, you know, how it is that they got put on death row, the injustice of the criminal justice system. You know, especially with the Death Row 10, the people who were tortured, the men who were tortured, you know, to hear their stories, how they were electroshocked, how they were suffocated with typewriter bags, to hear it in their own words, I think makes all the difference in the world and is extremely powerful for those of us who are on the outside. It's also something that's extremely powerful for those who are behind bars because they no longer feel as isolated. They have a connection to people who are on the outside and people who are willing to fight for them. They have an outlet to also fight for their own lives, and this is one of those outlets. So it's extremely powerful for people who are listening to it, people who are organizing the event, and also for the death row inmates themselves.
And one of the things that you're going to be doing is obviously pulling a lot of these ideas and issues and organization together for your national convention. Again, that's coming up on November 3rd and 4th here in Chicago. And this is your first convention. And why do you think that this is the time, in a sense? I'm sure it was planned way before September 11th, but why now to have this convention? Why here in Chicago to try to give some focus and some organizational continuity for this fight against the death penalty?
Well, the campaign started off in 1995, and, you know, now here in 2001, we're finally in a position where we can actually pull off a national convention, and that's something we're really proud of. You know, we started off with handfuls of people, really, in cities across the country, and because of the momentum around the death penalty, because of the work that those handfuls of people did, and because of, you know, getting more and more people on board to the project of ending the death penalty, it means that we can have a national convention at this time. You know, there's been some victories that the Campaign to End the Death Penalty has helped to achieve. You know, here in Illinois, the moratorium, there was a lot of activity that campaigners and other activists did that actually highlighted the fact that there was, you know, at that time, I think it was 13 people when Governor Ryan declared the moratorium, that that there was a lot of activity and a lot of pressure for something to actually be done because, you know, in Florida, there's actually been many more people who have been exonerated, but there's not a moratorium there because there's not the same sort of activism going on.
No, that's pretty important. And I think it's also quite interesting with all the things that you're saying. I think what Dick Devine was saying is in some kind of a context, that he would say something as off, as if you're guilty, we'll let you go. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is the kind of context you're giving it, the kind of organization on the ground, the kind of publicity around the Death Row 10 people who were tortured, and sort of the understanding of the involvement of Dick Devine around the Death Row 10 and Daley and all of the political implications. I mean, this is Chicago, after all, and there seems to be all kind of political implications that are involved in that. When you look at the convention coming up, what do you hope that will come out of it? I mean, if you're asking people to come, I'm sure you are, what do you want them to see when they come to the convention, and what do you want to come out of this this meeting, this national meeting here in Chicago?
Well, we hope that, you know, out of this national convention, people can actually go back to their cities and be able to continue to organize around this issue. You know, we have one moratorium in here in Illinois. I believe that it's entirely possible for us to win abolition here in Illinois, to become the first state in the United States to abolish the death penalty. And I believe it's entirely possible for other states to win moratoriums. You know, there's already been legislation, you know, against the mentally retarded, against executing juveniles that have been passed in numerous states. You know, we need to win moratorium legislation, but it is going to be up to activists to push for those types of things. We can't let up on those issues because we know from before the death penalty was abolished once in 1976 and it was brought back. We know that without sort of groundswell and without a grassroots movement, that we can't rely on our politicians alone to get rid of something that, you know, more and more Americans and more people around the world are realizing is something that needs to be abolished.
Mm-hmm. And if people are interested in coming to the convention, again, it's November 3rd and 4th here in Chicago, do you have a phone number for them so that they could get in touch with you?
Yeah, people should call 773-955-4841. That's our national office. You can also check us out on our website, which is nodeathpenalty.org.
And you also have a newsletter that you put out nationally called The New Abolitionist. And if people gave you a call at that number, would they be able to get maybe a free copy of a sample copy, at least, of the newsletter to see the kind of work that you're doing both here in Chicago and around the country?
People could definitely call us up to get a sample copy of The New Abolitionist, and we can send one out to you along with a subscription form, so hopefully you would also subscribe to our newsletter.
Okay, Alice, could you get the phone number again, please?
It's 773-955-4841.
And again, the National Convention is going to be here in Chicago, and we're getting some, it'll be on the South Side at the University of Chicago, and we're getting some of the details of the history of the fight, not just of the death penalty, but the fight against the death penalty, the kind of pressure that people, grassroots people, organizations around Chicago and around the country have been able to put on. And we're getting that information from Alice Kim, who's with the campaign to end the death penalty, and thank you very much, Alice.
Thanks.